You said shaft.
I suppose I did.
You should have thought that through better.
It was. I suppose that was low-hanging fruit for Kyle to hit on right there.
Yeah, it was. Well, you opened with shaft, and I was like, can I even make this joke mid-quote? Is that douchey? Is that awesome?
Mid-quote probably wouldn't have been great.
Yeah, I know how Will's sensitive about his quotes.
Yeah, exactly. They're very, very important to me. How Will. Welcome. Shit. Welcome, listeners, to episode 370 of the White Book.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I always forget. Did you start recounting when we became the White Book?
No. No. Okay. I've considered it continuous because nothing really caused a hard break there aside from moving away from Card Game DB and changing our name. Like, the hosts were still the same, and content and format, none of that changed. So
I think that also says a lot about how old your podcast is when you don't remember, like, if you reset the count. Are we like really old or like really, really old?
I legit had to think. But I mean, even since the Switch, I mean, it's the switchover was almost smack dab in the middle right now. As far as where that occurred. So yeah. We've got a lot of episodes under our belts as the White Book. Probably somewhere around 175, 180 maybe, just as the White Book.
That's insanity.
Wow.
Like, kudos to you. Like, very cool. It's just
somehow that makes it sound a lot weirder and, like, bigger and longer to me. Jeez.
Like those shafts.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Quick on the draw. Well, this was a productive start to
it's exactly what this I was supposed thinking.
To be. I'm still riding that high from Zach being on. Yeah, having Zach last week or 2 weeks ago has just got me back to my old ways where I don't actually contribute anything for an hour and a half.
Well, you
thanks,
know,
guys. You could have said, you know, oh, no, Kyle, you provide some content, but you know, it's much better just the awkward silence letting you suffer.
Well, you know, I think we all know what you're really here for are to provide the levity to fill those awkward silences. And we weren't prepared for you to be the one causing them.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, what are we talking about, Will?
Oh,
hey, Tyler. Oh, this is Tyler. Tyler kicks ass. He's from Quincy and Hugh Winship.
Yeah, geez.
Also known as Matt Phillips.
You're busy spending all this time talking about how much you missed Zach being on and you really loved that last week, and you're totally trying to skip our current guest. Sheesh. Well, I, for one, would like to welcome your reigning Gen Con / North American Continental Champ, Tyler Phillips.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
At least I'm getting some nod here, not living in the past with Kyle, but, you know.
Well, then.
I remember when cards had black borders. You were all just in diapers.
Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. You remember the fugly, like, 90s patterned edges, too? The templates around on the cards? Ah, oh, those were great. I missed
that. Word. That's a word you could use.
Hey, do you remember my impassioned pleas and arguments on the message boards when the change was made to the new design at that time? Oh, man, I ranted and raved. In favor of the old ones, the original card frame.
While I did not read it, it does not shock me that you wasted a whole bunch of time and text writing about card borders.
Oh, so much. So much. You know, I used to have the time and like mental fortitude to do that. I mean, you know, like anything to blow off paying attention to my actual college studies, right? I wish I could muster that kind of commitment these days. It's just not there.
It's very easy. Get a job where there's a door between you and the people who need to know if you're actually working. Step one. Step two, get a computer, and you're done.
Yep.
You really got to make sure the computer's facing away from the door, though. That's the key.
That is an awkward moment when they walk in, and I'm like, in round three on the Iron Throne. It's like, hey, I need this issue to wait 20 minutes.
Oh my. Well then, let's go ahead and keep rolling with topics this week, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully none of us are trying to multitask and do other things this week, right? Especially not play on the Iron Throne. I, of course, have never done that on an episode, I say sarcastically. But that's not what I'm trying to do now. Instead, we've got FFG. It's
been down all day.
Oh, it has?
I don't even know if it's up right now.
Thank goodness. The temptation's not even there. That's good. That's good to know. I don't know. It looks like it might load. I better close that now. Anyway, moving on. So we've got some FFG news since we recorded our last episode that I think is worth talking about a little bit. We've actually got two pieces of FFG news. So let's start with the one that is probably the smaller thing overall, and that is the announcement of the 2018 Champion deck, which is a Martell Banner of Wolf deck. And let's see, it was the one played by, why is my brain completely shutting down right now? Also, why is the article not just showing it to me? Oh, yeah, Leonard. There we go.
Leonard, yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a really nice selection of cards here. I mean, obviously, it's a good deck, but like the appeal to me here are for the individual like art choices to see that in the extended frame, especially because this deck is not legal now thanks to the restricted list update. But I think some of these are going to look really cool. I don't know that I have much more to say other than I'm always excited for extended art.
I think you can tell a real difference from some of the later cards and the artwork they put in. Like that Water Gardens looks fantastic.
Yeah. When you look at that spread here, like it's kind of funny. I remember when Second Ed launched and we were all like just kind of mind boggled at the art in second edition. Like they had really stepped it up. But in the spread here, when you look at the core set cards, like say that Arion that's right in the center, I mean like, yeah, that art, that art looks good and all. But when you compare it to like the Water Gardens, as you said there, or even like the Shadow City Bastard over on the left, there's a difference.
Big time.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the game hopefully is still doing pretty well for FFG if they're, you know, obviously having a larger art budget, it feels like. So I think that's a plus.
Yeah, sometimes zooming in on shit makes cards really nice, and other times it seems really odd. Like Shadow City Bastard and Exchange of Information both look fine. But again, I don't know why like Water Gardens needs a zoomed in fountain, but I guess you have to, right? Like that's the shtick.
Yeah,
that's kind of the template they've rolled with to this point.
Zoom in 20%, delete the border, bam, magic.
Done.
Though some of them, I don't think they have. I feel like some of them have shown more of the art that you couldn't see in the regular small frame. So I don't know. I imagine they fiddle with it a little bit to see what looks best out of what they have available.
Yeah. Someone's living that dream, fiddling with art zooms
the whole day. Isn't that what Ryan Ritter does?
I bet that's him.
And on that awkward note,
woo!
Oh boy, we are just killing it this week, boys. Killing it.
I don't know how much you want me to talk about zoomed in Carter.
No, it's fine. I was just hoping somebody else would actually give us like a better segue than that. But you know what? It didn't happen, so we're going with it.
Yeah, noobs will buy this deck and they'll learn what restricted lists are, so it'll be an educational moment. At least the first couple times they did it, you know, you could use the deck and be like, oh, this is what a good deck feels like. And now you can know what an illegal deck feels like.
There you go. And, you know, actually, that is a fairly good point that I had not really thought of before. I did not notice anything in the previous champ decks, like, packaging-wise. But it would be really nice. I can understand if they don't want to put this on the outside, but maybe, like, on a, like an insert card, like, right on the front of the deck inside. Something that basically says, caution, before like playing this deck at an organized play event, please check the current FAQ at, and then give like a bit.ly link to it or something, to make sure that this deck is currently tournament legal. That'd probably be a nice touch so that folks don't find out like, at a tournament.
Yeah, I think there needs to be something put out, especially for people who are looking to get in the game. And I think that was one of the reasons behind putting these together, was try to get new players into the game and taking their $12, $14, $16, whatever it is, and giving a deck they can't take to a tournament is interesting.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of understand there's not much else to do, so to speak, when the list, you know, is what it is, and it definitely loses some of that appeal if you're like, deck that's kind of like the World Championship from 28.
Well, it says on their page here that whether you're looking to fine-tune your existing decks or jump into the game and learn the intricacies of the long game, I don't know if I'd phrase it that way. By the way, you can't use this.
You gotta make lemonade out of these lemons.
So, but you're right, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So.
I mean
it still functions. Yeah, it functions how we want it to function as involved players, because we just get pseudo alt arts of our favorite cards. And that part's good still.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the collector means going to buy at least two, if not three, to get a full play set of everything in the event that I use something from it in the future. So they're making money and they're happy.
Well, speaking of money, let's take a look at another article that FFG put up about another product that I'm desperately going to hand them money for. One that is, I think, more exciting than the Champ deck. And that is our announcement of the third chapter pack in the new cycle, Pit of Snakes, which... Definitely describes King's Landing. So we've got a big pile of some new preview cards here dumped on us, several of which kind of focus around the seven, But we definitely see a few other cards here. Shadows card. So I think there's quite a bit to take a look at. Should we just work our way through as, like we did with the Baratheon article and click the first of the name links there so we get the pop-up image of the cards and then work our way through the new cards as they are previewed there. That way we've got a consistent order.
Well then.
So anyway, back to the cards. So first up out of our preview cards from the article, we've got a neutral location here. It's another 7 location. Statue of Baelor. It's unique, 2 cost. Action. Kneel Statue of Baelor and discard 1 power from another character or location you control to stand that character or location. I think this seems interesting. I think there is definitely some good application with it. Especially because it doesn't have to only target 7 characters. I mean, bare minimum, I can see some thoughts with stuff that has Intimidate, like maybe say Big Bobby B, Robert Baratheon.
Bobby B?
Yeah. Anything that has some other trigger that you would like to, or I say trigger, some other ability that you might want to get some use out of. Maybe some extra, I don't know, insight cards with Cersei? Insight? Jeez, what am I doing? How about Melisandre? There we go. You gotta find a way to give her power, though. You're gonna wait in a Starry Sept to give her power, and then she's blanked. So you can't... I don't know. There's some moving pieces here, I think, to get max use out of this. So I tentatively like it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there's certain rush decks that like it. Fast Eddie, I think, is down for this. Intimidate, Insight, those kind of characters. I think you could see this. It depends.
I think it's interesting we're starting to see some location stand. I think that's kind of a new avenue here to explore. If there's going to be something that's going to allow you to stand locations and benefit from that. That's kind of a new mechanic that's not really in the game right now. That
how are you going to
develop
that?
More, maybe?
How are you going to get that power on him?
Good question. I didn't say it was perfect, did I?
Fair.
I said it's interesting that this is coming out. Surely there's going to be a way to play off that at some point down the road.
They would never
put something out that didn't coincide with some other mechanic, right?
Whew. Will, toeing that company line, staying silent.
Yeah, well, you know, that's pretty much all I am on here, right? I'm the resident company shill. We've got to have one, at least.
How much are they paying me, Will?
Oh, that sweet, sweet
it's not
podcast
enough, whatever
money.
It is.
what about our next one? We've got some more 7 cards here. We've got the Most Devout. It's a unique 6 cost, 5 strength, intriguing power icons, no attachments except the 7. In reaction, after a character enters play under an opponent's control, if another character enters play under that player's control this phase, the Most Devout gains 1 power. Limit once per phase.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It seems pretty cool, I guess. You get, I mean, it has no other abilities. You get 1 power for every character they play per turn past their first.
Once per phase.
Not
even all of them, just the first one.
Yeah.
So the second character in each phase.
Each phase.
The second
which character,
could be
and
a thing.
If
like
they,
jumpers
if
are
they
real.
Do 3 or 4 for whatever bizarre reason, then yeah, it's multiple power.
No, because it's a limit once per phase.
Oh, the limit once per phase. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Nope, never mind.
So character two triggers, you get no more triggers that phase. So if you like ambush two characters or bring two characters out of shadows, so like there are decks where you get two power turn with this. I'm not exactly a huge fan of more passive power, but I mean
this one is probably
this guy does
so limited that he's not relevant, right? Like plus he's a six cost neutral. He does literally nothing else. Like he's going to be hard to play and awkward at that cost point at neutral without reducers and things. Like, I'm not feeling it.
Free Folk 7 deck? You seeing it? I'm seeing it.
I am not seeing it.
I am not either. But do you know what I am seeing? Those dank ass stained glass disco balls.
Those are
I need
cool.
more of those in my life.
Those are cool.
Those seem awfully flashy for a 7 character.
Yeah.
Where's all that money in the church really going? Let's be honest.
To crystal crowns. Mm. Look at all those that they're all wearing.
Look at that.
Those things don't come cheap.
Yeah, but I think you really hit the nail on the head is at that cost to its ability, there's surely better options you have in passive power decks to use as opposed to going this route. I mean, drop six.
Or even like regular decks.
Yeah.
If this was like if everything else was literally exactly the same, but this character just had the renown keyword instead of this reaction, it would be like better because I would have way more control over whether I get one power a turn from it or not.
Sure.
Like as is, it's totally under my opponent's control. Like
but hey, this way you can dick over Targ Shadows and Martell.
I mean,
yeah, run Flea Bottom and Desperator.
One power per turn, dicking the.
Oh bulb yeah, in? I can see it now. It's like, oh, you Flea Bottomed your. Oh, what's her nuts? Shadow City Bastard. Now you want a Desert Raider? Cool, that's a power and his power. Boom, nutted.
Wow. Combo. Look at that.
Rest in peace, Martell.
Well,
I tried.
Looks like we know what Kyle's Gen Con deck's gonna be. That's good.
Oh, I'm out. I'm playing that Predator deck. Everyone running Martell needs to watch out.
Boom.
Woo! Alright. I think we've probably exhausted this particular one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Move on to that next 7 card, though.
That's the new one.
Yeah, the next card up is
Are you wanting to read that then?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Compelled by the Faith, aka Shit, They Gonna Valor.
That's an existing card. That one's not new.
No one should play it.
But that's a reasonable use for it.
It is. It is. Man, you're really good at this, Kyle.
I have a gift.
Woo! Okay, so how about the Faith's Decree, then? I know Kyle just is questionable sometimes on following along, though it does sound like he's on it tonight. But Tyler seemed pretty pumped about this card, but I don't know if you are where you can read it or not.
The Faith's Decree. The 7 trait, event, no cost, play only if you control a thus 7 character or location. Action, name a non-agenda, non-plot card. Until the end of the phase, each opponent cannot trigger card abilities of cards with that name. So what really caught my eye with this is, one, it's a neutral event. And of course, you do have limits on what the 7 characters or locations there are, but it is one of those quasi-treachery-like cards that seem to be very impactful on the game overall, which could prompt us to see a little bit of play, I think.
I think it's interesting that you use treachery as an example. Comparison, because weirdly, when I look at it, I almost look at it more as nightmares comparison in my head. Though it's, I guess it's a little bit of six of one, half dozen of the other, so to speak. It's not quite either one, obviously, but it definitely fills a similar niche.
You can't stop passive stuff.
So. It cannot. It's also not stopping, you know, keywords and such like a like an actual nightmares would.
It's free.
What I was thinking was it's a little bit more like I thought I related to obviously treachery more just because it's going to hit things, you know, the nightmares can as far as attachments or other triggered abilities that it's not a character or location, so I guess it's just.
I was going to say just attachments. you got me thinking about that because let me go check out the exact wording on treachery. Doesn't it specific? Yeah, it specifically says character, location, or attachment. While this says non-agenda, non-plot. What do we think? Are we pretty sure this is hinting at planeswalkers being added to Game of Thrones?
I hope not.
Exactly. That's going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, in a world with... I guess this is playing for rotation, right? Because once you don't have to compare it to nightmares, it's almost good? Question mark? I mean, it's free, right? That part's nice. Treachery's one, nightmares is one. Getting it for free is better. And you can still, the only thing I don't like about it, I mean, this is part of the drawback, right? Is you have to play it before they want to trigger in the action. Mm-hmm. You need an action window there. The nice thing about treachery is they can set up their reactions in such a way that you get that surprise factor. And now it's like, uh-oh, like after defenders, I have to do this because I need to stop XYZ. And then your opponent gets time to reassess. So it'll take some playtesting to see if it's as effective as the two cards we're comparing it to, but I don't know, shrugs.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's one of those cards that's going to not have that surprise factor, but it's going to be available in a lot more decks. And I think it's still giving you that advantage. Oh, we got a 6-drop Drogon on first turn, it's another way to deal with something like that in this new Sea of Blood environment, which is rampant right now, I think, in light of the new restricted list. So, you know, I think it's gonna help with things like that, but you're right, it's definitely not as good as treachery, and you know, nightmares, you can make an argument to play that in any deck ever, so, but again, it's I think it'll see play in some form.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think one of the biggest things to me that jumps out of this that I don't think we've really hit on enough is that compared to nightmares, the Face Decree has a favorable condition here in that like the card does not have to already be in play. So this could cancel some of the enters play reactions, for instance, saying Ario Hotop. I suppose cancel is not the right word, but prevent those from being used for a turn. If you know your opponent, for whatever reason, say, had a first snow of winter last turn that bounced Hotop back to the ring, whatever it might be, you know you can keep that from going off. So I think that's a plus, and I think this will have a niche.
Ambush is not considered a card ability, correct?
Correct. Okay. It's not a triggered card ability.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But the reaction to entering play.
Correct. So, and again, I think it's going to depend on... I think it's going to depend on how much this 7 trait gets flushed out to. You know, you have things, you know, Great Sept, that's 7, isn't it? And that new Sept of Baelor and some stuff moving in that direction, but again, I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to get fully flushed out by the end of second edition, whenever it is.
Next up, we have a one cost location, a Flea Bottom.
That card's really good. They should. I can't wait to use that.
I gotta read this first.
That's one I will definitely name with the face decree in some games. Mm. I just know it.
That seems bad. I mean, card disadvantage, right? You're just gonna go through your whole discard pile. It's definitely
card disadvantage.
Are you ever gonna get things in your discard pile and you only get to use them once?
For shame.
After that is Drogon, six cost dragon. That's a lot for a dragon.
I think I would probably also use that event against it. I'm going to be decreeing all day long.
Then we have Long Face Eddard with weird knee pads. Oh, the art.
Except that one you could actually read. I think that one is actually new.
All right. Next up, we got Eddard Stark, a loyal, unique Eddard, big seven drop, six strength, mill pow, renown, lord, small council, all very Eddardy things. In dominance, if each character you control has the Stark affiliation, kneel Ed to choose and kill a character with printed cost four or lower. Limit once per phase. There's a good use for that location. Stand, get win renown and challenges. Stand Ed back up. Dominance, murder Nate some dude.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Win Dom with him. It's all there. Yeah. Get the power back. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Now it's on your house, which is better than on Ed. Oh, juicy.
How are you getting that power back in that case?
Because you win Dom, so you win him with renown.
Okay.
Spend it to stand him. Win Dom with this big six strength dude standing up. Win Dom, get the power back. Now it's on your house, so you're power neutral. Aim to kill it.
There you go. There you go.
Two card combo. Woo! Jake Platt ain't got shit.
It's also our first loyal Eddard, which is interesting.
Yeah. That is actually surprising that both of the previous ones are not loyal.
I don't know. I mean, he goes south for a Baratheon. Like Eddard is the one character that, like, hey, like, you shouldn't do this. He's like, but he's my friend. So he goes and helps and dies.
Works out so well.
So.
spoiler alert.
Sorry. It doesn't make it.
Ouch.
So. Like, I get why he's non-loyal, because he wants to play nice with Baratheon cards.
So is this one then theoretically supposed to be representing Ned at a different point in his life? Rebellion Ned? You can look at him.
He looks old here. This is the smarter, wiser Ned who's like, fuck this.
This is the alt-universe Ned. I see. I get it.
But yeah, I think this is another one of those cards that's probably going to see play because of that kill ability. That's pretty solid. And Stark has some decent stand tech with, you know, their two-drop location, non-limited location. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't know why we got to put a limit on him.
Yeah, Northern Armory. And then, of course, Rob and Wyman with that combo. Yeah,
he could really mow some people down. Thank goodness he's new to the dominance phase.
Yeah. I feel like putting the limit on him, though, is just an admittance that we have a stand effect problem. Like, how much repeatable stand and dom do you have. And the fact that we have to put this shit on here.
I mean, most of it's just like any phase, right? Not restricted to Dom.
This is just stopping that Stark Banner Dragon Queensguard 3 Dominance Phase kill effects.
Oh, man.
We were so close. Toss
cards for that for sure. For sure. I don't know. It's interesting. I'll kind of see how it pans out. It seems good, but I think you need those stand effects, as you guys are saying. I don't know that I like him enough to, like, or like that ability enough anyway, to give up just actually getting a military or power challenge with 6 strength and renown, you know?
So. Speaking of which, though, Malian's Tomb? Is that going to see play?
Tell me more.
This is the new attachment for Stark. 2 cost attachment. Shadows 1. Citadel item. Attached character gains an intrigue icon. Reaction. After you win a challenge in which attached character is attacking, look at the losing opponent's hand. If attached character is Eddard Stark or has the Maester trait, stand it. Limit once per phase.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to have some application there. I'm going to go ahead and throw out what my first thought is, though, which is that, again, this is a Shadows card that has very little actual need or use to be Shadows.
Very true.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is more like you go maybe get with Kohar and put it on Ed when you have Ed.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And it never goes to Shadows ever.
Way more efficient. Way more.
Yeah, why do you need this to be a surprise? Because it's the stand. Like, you're going to open with the intrigue from this. That's how you get the 2 challenge. Like, there's no way to make this sneaky. Like, this doesn't need to be Shadows.
I guess maybe if I need to dodge a weapons at the door, I can put it
do
in
you hear yourself
and bring it out.
Weapons at the door.
Wow.
Wow. Huh. Tell that to Tommy. He freaking loves that plot. But anyway, this seems alright. I almost, though, think it's just stronger with Box Entered, right? 6 cost, fast Eddie. Like, whoo, getting 2 challenges out of him and the extra icon.
I think it's one of those cards that it's kind of limited, though. It has to be Eddard or a Maester, and how many Maesters are you running in a Fast Ed Power Rush deck where this is going to be most effective? So, you know, it's Eddard or nothing kind of thing, which I don't know if I like that, but I don't know.
That's the new design style, bro. Obvious piece, you put on obvious piece, and that obvious piece does obvious things.
I mean, it's not like we haven't had that since the core set. Widow's Wail gives Joffrey a military icon? Obvious piece does obvious things.
But that was less. Like, I didn't give a shit if it was on Joffrey. Like, it was a good pump back then, and that was the useful part, and the little bit on the end was whatever. But this card is garbage unless on Ed. Or a Maester. Sorry. Or a Maester.
Yeah. Hold on. Thank you. Or a Thank you very much.
And Maester missing an intrigue icon. Sorry. So for all those intrigueless Stark Maesters, I'm super pumped about this card is also going to Voltron him up.
Doesn't have to go on Stark? Dude, this sucker's going in a whatchamacallit. In a Maester deck, so I can throw this on someone out of house. Like,
wow. Like,
hold on. Wendemir, I would love stealth on 2 icons.
Okay.
And we're done. That was the list.
Yep.
Moving
yep.
on.
What if you're playing Martell and they strip one of your intrigue icons? You got a secondary.
I got a second one.
Look at that. Boom.
And that we are coming through. Maester the Seven hybrid screw you Martell deck.
We are not making this sound appealing. How about we go to the next card?
Because it's not. It's because it's
all right.
Actually is. Is it back to me by now? I'd let you guys read some cards.
That Magali Arian is so good.
Yeah, I'm taking a good one. So now we bounce over to Martell.
Taking a good one.
Yeah. For a new... yeah. Yeah. Think of it as the podcast version of First Night. I don't know. That was a dark joke. I'm gonna just read this card.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a new Arian Martell with Shadows. She's got 6 cost, an intrigue and a power icon, and 5 strength. Shadows 5 and stealth. And reaction, after a card comes out of Shadows under your control, choose a character. Until the end of the phase, that character loses a challenge icon of your choice. Limit 3 times per round. So, I mean, here is the marquee central Shadows character for Martell, like Queen of Thorns or Cersei for Tyrell and Lannister, respectively, and I think this one is probably my favorite so far. I mean, Shadows, like, already, I think, kind of lean toward control-style decks, and she supports that nicely, plus is a reasonable force in challenges. Stealth, something that Cersei doesn't bring to the table the same way. I really like her. I think she's going to be very strong.
I think she's going to see a lot of play with Martell following this restricted list, too. I think one of their stronger decks is that Assault from Shadows deck that Hansen was running at Thrones War. I think it's fits right into that. I mean, the only thing, I don't know if he's running dual or not.
Might have been. Yeah.
But still, I think that's an easy swap out for that ability that you can easily take advantage of up to 3 times per round in Martell.
Yeah, I like it. This is legit good. This is better than all the other cards we've read tonight combined.
I would agree.
Which is really bad for our the 7 Maester hybrid screw you Martell.
Damn, we tried so hard. It's kind of funny.
You remember that when Will wins Gen Con with that deck. You remember. You remember
I'm gonna
this.
I'm going to lord it over Kyle so hard. So hard. I mean.
I already regret the day. Yep.
I think it's almost funny. We almost have like the least to say about her because she's so good comparatively, I think. Right? Like she's just really efficient at doing what she does in like a house that wants this effect and it slots in nicely. Sure, she's competing against the other Arians, but I think this is a very specific direction for the build that doesn't necessarily want the other Arians. So, yeah, I don't know that I have anything else to say. She's does what she does. In the art.
Can we talk?
Speaking of awesome art.
Yeah, can we talk about this?
Hey, Kyle.
What drunk made this art for Hands of Gold? This is terrible. It's like, hey, let's do those song arts we used to do, but instead have, like, Sweet Robin draw it. And that's what we got.
Sweet Robin. I can't quite.
I'm just trying to think of someone dumb from the books that could draw.
I can't quite read the artist down there. But I think this is a different artist than the other songs, right? Because this does not seem to be that tapestry style. It's still stylized, but I don't think it's that same style.
It's so bad, and I'm sure the artist is fine. They were just given real stupid, dumb direction. like make this weird hand chain Disney Beauty and the Beast bullshit rope thing, and
that's almost I don't exactly even know what it looks like.
Well, this is so bad.
Like something from Beauty and the Beast in the
and
opening
so is the
scene
card.
When they're like talking.
What an intrigue by five. Pay two to bounce a character. Not even cannot be saved. Just bounce a dude.
But we could talk
so
about what it does.
You gotta hit. If you're hitting five or sevens, you're at least getting five gold up. But you have to win an intrigue by five. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of any of these cards. The stupid Greyjoy attachment, that sucks. Maester Gormon.
Seems very good. It's kind of playing into what Lannister's
card your deck is a
theme, so to speak, is heading
also
towards
dumb.
With the cat's
whole thing's
paw.
Dumb.
And,
what is this pack? Pack for ants?
But what about the effect? I think the effect seems pretty good, though. Reaction after you win an intrigue challenge by five or more strength as the attacking player. Choose a character controlled by the losing opponent. Return it to its owner's hand. And a max one per challenge, which I think is just to be expected there. But I think that seems pretty reasonable.
One of those spies characters returns to hand too, I think. Yeah. So maybe that's going to be their thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The red keep spies, yeah. Yeah, and of course, things I do for love, Tywin's stratagem. Yeah, bounce is definitely their thing. I mean, in a lot of ways, I kind of hate that it works like to directly undermine another theme that they tried to push for them, which is having more cards in hand than my opponent, which is really hard to do when I'm spending one of my cards to give them a card in their hand. But aside from that whole debacle, I think this seems like a good card. I mean, people were super pumped about Banished from the Light in Baratheon, and in some ways I think this is very, very similar. And I think this will be good spot removal for Lanny.
And I think it plays really well with Pinch of Powder, too, if you're winning by five.
Heck yeah.
That's going to be synergy for that, too. Removing two characters seems good.
Yeah.
Could be a huge tempo swing.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be for sure.
So maybe that's something that's going to help Lanny climb back up into relevancy again.
Oh, man. I hope so. I hope so. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a solid card. But what about for another faction here that's kind of disfavored at the moment, though not nearly as much? We've got a spicy maester here for Tyrell. Anybody want to jump on that?
This looks like it's going to fit in your maester combo Stark deck there.
He's got an intrigue icon, though. Like,
perfect.
What's the point?
I'm on it. Oh, that's fair. Dang.
I mean, it's good against Martell because now he's got two intrigue icons.
Yeah, exactly. What if they're going to Arion me?
See? Man, that's coming full circle here.
I feel like I should actually tell people what he is. He's a four-cost unique maester. Maester Gormon. Not loyal. Intrigue and power icons. Two strength. And you may look at the top card of your deck. Also, once per phase, the top card of your deck is a non-Tyrell card. You may marshal or play it as it were in your hand. So, yeah. Anybody thinking about false bannering with this guy? I don't know. False banner, something cheap. False banner, Night's Watch, maybe, with him? Something where I can just play from the top of my deck without ever even needing to play out of my hand.
Well, he's got some synergy with that Mark Mullender guy as well. That
sort of, yeah, because I get to look at the top of the deck. Synergy with Old Town 2. But I need it to be not Tyrell to be able to play. play it. So
you're asking for an awful
lot. To make sure it's consistently not Tyrell. But oh well. I mean, if nothing else, always knowing what's there for Old Town seems pretty good. Guaranteed power in a card.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, he's 4 cost for 2 strength, though. He's probably going to be edged out of most serious decks. But I love him for fun Shaga stuff. Well, I guess that's it on that guy. We've got Outfitted for War, which is by far the least exciting card here.
So it is a weapon attachment for Greyjoy. No cost. Warship location only. Action during a military challenge. Kneel attach location to give a participating Greyjoy character +3 strength until the end of the challenge. So, I don't know why you would ever play it, but you could play it. So there's that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
The one thing about Greyjoy is, you know, there's the deck's not very tight at all, so there's a lot of free space to put things like this in.
Good thinking. Yeah, I got at least 6 to 7 bullshit slots in every build I'm coming up with. So yeah, this will eat up space just to give me something. It's good on flops. Putting those weapons on warships. If you knelt the attachment, this might see play in Sea of Blood. And that would be it. Because this doesn't help with pinch. This doesn't help with anything.
Yep. I mean, I don't even have anything else to say about it. It's just not going to be useful.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Plus, I've really noticed something here, especially as listeners look at the episode and go, holy crap, they've already spent 55 minutes or whatever on those cards. Like, somehow, over the last few months, the attempt to talk about preview articles and new cards, like, it used to be, I feel like we could knock out a preview article, talk about some cards and stuff, and like, 20 minutes or so. I feel like that has really crept up. I'm not sure what the culprit is, but it might be just desperately longing for new cards. I'm not sure.
I think it's us trying to find ways to validate some of these design choices.
That's probably it. And I'm as bad as anyone about going down that rabbit hole. So sorry. Not so.
I mean, there might be some things in here. Like, we can't see this Martell event, and usually Martell events are good. And here's a Shadow 5 character, which means, like always, it costs more to bring it out of Shadows than to just pay his cost.
But I bet he's going to be good. I mean,
Corbray does.
That's got to be Griff there, right?
Or Griff, yeah. I don't know.
I had thought for a minute that he might be called John Connington whenever Tyler said something about it, but I realized looking at it, his name would be way too long to fit the way it is there. So they must be calling him Griff. And I think Tyler made a pretty solid observation that that's almost certainly written down right next to Shadows there. So like that's probably going to be a pretty solid body for Targ.
Yeah.
Especially Renown on that Intrigue icon.
Yeah, I was going to say Renown Intrigue with some beef is, I worry about Targ a lot, you know, trying to find a place in this world. And I think this will definitely help shore up some glaring weaknesses it has.
Conveniently, I just freed up 3 slots in my deck for, that were normally either previously held by Fleabottom or Hisdar or Marine, depending on your flavor. So here we go.
Yeah, he's going to fit that six drop for his Dar real nice. He's got renown and an intrigue icon.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
Well, quite an article. Quite an article. See, led to all sorts of talk. What about some of the other stuff we've got going on? We had two other topics we were planning on hitting this particular week. So let's see if we can still do that. We'll see.
Sure.
All right. Well, this one, I don't know that I have a ton that I can personally add to it, but we'll see what happens. I know Kyle wanted to talk for a minute about how his draft experience was for Jesse's name day tournament. So how'd your first foray into drafting in a war format event go?
I'll be honest. Ryan's been doing Thrones of War for what feels like forever, and I've never made it out to one. I was like, that looks like fun. But how much more fun over a regular tournament can it really be? And so going out, doing Thrones War was a blast. And I was like, oh, this is really great. And I picked the brains of a lot of the regents down there and asked some questions about strategy and approach and philosophy. I saw what worked, or looked like it was working, what looked like it didn't. And then pivoted into being regent for Jesse's name day. And I decided, you know, the morning of, like, grade joy or bust. I didn't care what the house was going to cost me. I was going to go early and get it and play with the best cards and pick people I believed in that I was hoping were going to go for cheap. The going for cheap part ended up being not so true. Excuse me. But Greyjoy ended up being a steal, just like it was, like Top House was at Thrones of War. Early on, people are afraid to spend really big money on a house. So I think they let Greyjoy go because no one wants to start their draft in the hole $50. So no one bids it up. I get it for $40. But then as other houses start to fall, people get desperate. So like Tar going for $45 was a symptom of Chris and CT being like, I want one of the last two like premier houses in both their opinions. So Chris bids CT up to $45, but then he gets a bid up to $28 on Martell. And then you get silly things like Sam paying $41 for Lannister. Like, it's just dumb that what is, I think, in everyone's opinion, unanimously the best house in Thrones right now was the third most expensive. And only at like a $10, $12 premium over Martell and $16 over Night's Watch. So, and $12 over Stark. So I was really happy with that. I know all but two players, one player on my team I either personally know or was recommended by someone I picked early. And I really like that. We have a Facebook group, the Sashimi of Doom, going with like a with a sushi theme this year. I don't know why. Like, I just always think squids and I go to sushi. So that's the theme. But everyone's getting a lot of buy-in. Everyone's chatting in the group. We have a lot of outside help. And it's been a blast. People chatting, having a good time. I've talked to some of our more casual players on the team, like Elisa, who just plays with her husband Sam. And she's like, this is so great. Like, me and Sam were talking. He's on Team Night's Watch. Like, so this is what it's like to have a meta and have people help you and talk to you and want to get better. So it's really a really fun experience. And if you've never done the war format, I highly recommend it. Buy in a ton to your team. Help out. Get involved. It is a super great experience. And I'm making a lot of friends. So, like, even these people that I didn't know but were recommended to me, like, hey, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to help. We're chatting now. It's just been really great. It's like my strategy played out. I got most of the people that I wanted. I'll call them out. I'm really sad I lost out on Sam Whitehead, Sandy, Tyson. I think those are the three big. I was like, I want my bros on the squad that I didn't get. But I was hoping when Sandy said he wasn't going to be sober, he'd go for less. Same with Sam. I was like, I knew Sam is looking really good on the Iron Throne right now. And I know a lot of people use that for people they don't know. I mean, that's what I did to kind of gauge how people were. So I was hoping I would be able to steal Sam, but that was not the case. But I got his wife. One out of two ain't bad. I dodged Jeff Brandon. So have fun with that, Chris Schoenthal.
Man, Chris, I feel sorry for you already.
Yeah, that's a good zero wins right there. And Shannon, I thought I felt so good I was going to get Shannon. And then here comes Sam Bratz, who hasn't paid more than a buck for someone outside the Wausau meta, besides Pablo. And here he goes and drops his last $8 on my guy. I was like, you pick anyone else and Shannon's mine. And I actually was downstairs pulling dinner out of the oven. So Danelli was up here and she's like, I panicked. I just hit $9 and everyone freaked out and was like,
no,
you don't have $9. So that was a heartbreaker. But overall, it was really fun. The game within the game was great. The live commentary was awesome. I thought Roy, Alejandro, and Colin did a great job. The whole spectacle and Buzz's system, the Excel sheet, worked way better than I thought it would. And yeah, it was just super cool.
And I'd like to echo on some of that you said too. I helped out a little bit with Team Martell on that Thrones War that they did, and it was a nice opportunity to get to know some of those West Coast guys that I don't see very often outside of the real big tournaments. But yeah, it was just fun to play with those guys and talk to them and get to know them a little better. I thought that was probably one of my favorite parts of helping playtest.
It seems really awesome, and I have high hopes for Team Greyjoy this time around.
Like, I'm only here because Will apparently thought driving 17 hours one way to Wisconsin was
by himself. By himself.
Yeah, that's a long, lonely drive. I would have done the last 7 hours with you.
Thanks. That's something. That's something.
You could have picked up. Well, so let's see. You drive 6 hours to Tyler, and you could have grabbed Shannon and Jeff, and then you drive 2 hours up to me, and you get me, and now you got a full car.
That's
for the rest of the way
in. That's actually true. I do admit I did not think about driving over to meet up Quincy guys and going that direction. I was busy trying to find locals or Tulsans or somebody, and at the time, none of them were going. And then I get a message on Saturday for Schoenthal. Hey, what can you tell me about this JD Payne guy? And I'm like, what? And find out the JD signed up to go, like, at the last minute. I'm like, WTF, mate. I can't make plans for that now.
You could still come. I've got a dummy spot on my team. You could be my dummy number one.
Knowing how our schedule has filled in since then, I think the odds are very low. But I'll check.
It's not a no.
I'll check. I'll make sure to bring it up to Kristen and let her know that you are Maverick and I have an opportunity to be your goose.
You do. And as long as you get more than two wins, it's better that you're on the team than not.
There we go. Okay, dear listeners, we did have one more item that we were going to hit this week, an idea from Tyler that seemed fun, but turns out we have BS'd about other things far too long to tackle it this week. But good news is we've also kind of, I think, hit on a fun way to tackle this topic about actually, you know, what do you do to update your deck when it's been hit by a restricted list. So I would say tune back in 2 weeks while this same crew tackles that topic in depth. I think it's going to be fun. Otherwise, props and slops.
Let's slop them. Let's prop them.
Woo! Well, I'm gonna prop Team Greyjoy for Jesse's name day. Got a good feeling about that. So you better not let me down.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
I want to give props to Tom Cruise for making one of the greatest movies of ours or any generation in Top Gun.
I love where that was going.
And in my opinion, there's only two kinds of people. People who love Top Gun and people who haven't seen Top Gun. That's it.
That
you know who this is.
That's true.
You know who this is for.
That's true. Yeah. Someone who will never listen to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
It makes me feel better.
I learned how to love a woman listening to Take My Breath Away.
Interesting.
That happened.
Not my, not what I think of right off the top of my head, but okay.
Well, that was good. That's the only prop we need.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have anything I can add to that at this point, other than prop Goose, because, I mean, we all know he's the real heart and soul of, frankly, everything.
Well, on that note, I think I'll leave it with Will. You can be my wingman anytime.
Oh, hopefully that keeps us out of the danger zone. Jeez, I guess we have to close this chapter of the White Book right here. I mean, like, I thought we might keep going props and slops, but, like, no. Like, Danger Zone, Top Gun, like, it's done. Sorry, guys.
It's done.
Yeah, you all...
I really thought you were going to say the fuck you can be mine line. I was waiting for the retort back.
No. I was still
that would put you in the danger zone.
I was still a couple steps back from that. I was busy thinking about trying to have it work in, lost that love and feeling, but I didn't get there in time.
Sounds like a fucking fantastic idea, Will.
Damn it, Kyle. I cleared...
My nipples are hard just thinking about it.
I'm shaking my head so hard. I hope you can hear the wind like rush.
You can't take me anywhere.
No.
We were doing so well.
We were. I hadn't had to write down a timestamp on anything that I was like, you know what? That for sure's gotta go. And now I have.
Interesting.